depths of the Pluripedia Group, MentalEsher.net presents
Cyberpunk Radio, Cyberpunk Radio, Cyberpunk Radio.
I hear the voice.
I'm the decider.
We have been warning you that the rise of machines throughout the world has potential for terrible evil.
We put electrodes on the brain, on the cortex, and those electrodes wait for the right signal.
This is hardcore cyberpunk. It.
Your brain waves are fed directly into a computer as instructions.
Is it a wolf I hear? Howling his lonely communion with the unpiloted stars? Or merely the self-importance and servitude in the bark of a dog? How many millennia did it take, twisting and torturing the pride from the one, to make a tool the other?
We're cyberpunks.
How shall I explain the dying that was done? Shall I say that each one did the math and wrote the value of his days against the bloody margin in an understated hand? They will want to know how the dying that was done.
We're cyberpunks.
There are ruins steeped in shadow and a blood-red sun going down in turmoil behind the distant hills. Overhead, soft-bellied clouds panic towards the horizon like whales before the harpoon, and the wind runs addict's fingers through the trees that line the street. I know this place. I pick my way between the devastated walls of ruins, trying not to brush against them because whenever I do, they give out muted gunshots and screams, as if whatever conflict murdered this city had soaked into the remaining stonework. At the same time, I'm moving quite fast because there's something following me. Something that has no such qualms about touching the ruins. I can chart its progress quite accurately by the tide of gunfire and anguish swelling behind me. It is closing. I try to speed up, but there's a tightness in my throat and chest that isn't helping matters. Jimmy DeSoto steps out from behind the shattered stub of a tower. I'm not really surprised to see him here. But his ruined face still gives me a jolt. He grins with what is left of his features and puts a hand on my shoulder. I try not to flinch. "Leela, begin," he says, and nods back to where I've come from. Run that by Bancroft's fancy lawyer. "I will," I say, moving past him. But his hand stays on my shoulder, which must mean his arm is stretching out behind me like hot wax. I stop, guiltily at the pain it must be causing him, but he's still there at my shoulder. I start moving again. "Going to turn and fight?" he asks conversationally, drifting along beside me without apparent effort of footing. "With what?" I say, opening my empty hands. "Should have armed yourself, pal, big time. Virginia told us not to fall for the weakness of weapons." Jimmy DeSoto snorts derisively. "Yeah, and look where that stupid bitch ended up. 80 to 100, no remission." "You can't know that," I say absently, more interested in the sounds of pursuit behind me. "You died years before that happened." "Oh, come on, who really dies these days?" "I'm trying to tell that to a Catholic. And anyways, you did die, Jimmy, irretrievably, as I recall." "What's a Catholic?" "Tell you later. Got any cigarettes?" "Cigarettes? What happened to your arm?" I break the spiral of non sequiturs and stare down at my arm. Jimmy's got a point. The scars on my forearm have turned into a fresh wound, blood welling up and trickling down into my hand. So of course. I reach up to my left eye and find the wetness below it. My fingers come away bloody. "Lucky one," Jimmy DeSoto says judiciously, they missed the socket. He should know. He left his own socket in a glutted well of gore, all that was left at the NNN when he dug the eyeball out with his fingers. No one ever found out what he was hallucinating at the time, but by the time they got Jimmy and the rest of the NNN beachhead DA'd for psychosurgery, the defenders' virus had scrambled their minds beyond retrieval. The program was so virulent that at the time the clinic didn't even dare keep what was left on the stack for study. The remains of Jimmy DeSoto are on a sealed disc with red data contaminant decals somewhere in the basement at Envoy Corp's HQ. I've got to do something about this, I say, a little desperately. The sounds awoken from the walls by my pursuer are growing dangerously close. The last of the sun is dipping behind the hills. Blood spills down my arm and face. Smell that, Jimmy asks, lifting his own face to the chilly air around us. They're changing it. What? But even as I snap the retort, I can smell it as well. A fresh, invigorating scent, not unlike the incense back at the Hendrix, but subtly different. Not quite the heady decadence of the original odor I fell asleep to, only, gotta go, Jimmy says, and I'm about to ask him where when I realize he means me, and I'm awake.
We're cyberpunks, we're cyberpunks.
Pull on the new flesh, like borrowed gloves, and burn your fingers once again.
We're cyberpunks, we're cyberpunks.
The personal, as everyone's so fucking fond of saying, is political. So if some idiot politician, some power player, tries to execute policies that harm you or those you care about, take it personally. Get angry. The machinery of justice will not serve you here. It is slow and cold, and it is theirs, hardware and soft. Only the little people suffer at the hands of justice. The creatures of power slide out from under with a wink and a grin. If you want justice, you will have to claw it from them. Make it personal. Do as much damage as you can. Get your message across. That way you stand a far better chance of being taken seriously next time. Of being considered dangerous. And make no mistake about this, being taken seriously, being considered dangerous, marks the difference, the only difference in their eyes, between players and little people. Players they will make deals with, little people they liquidate. And time and again they cream your liquidation, your displacement, your torture and brutal execution, with the ultimate insult that it's just business. It's politics. It's the way of the world. It's a tough life. And that it's nothing personal. Well, fuck them. Make it personal. From Things I Should Have Learned By Now, Volume 2. Quellcrist Falconer.
We're cyberpunks. We're
excerpts
cyberpunks. We're
from Richard K. Morgan's Altered Carbon, 2002.
You're listening to Cyberpunk Radio, a submask of the Greater Mantalasha Plurin Media Group. Cyberpunk Radio operates deep within the Mantalasha Matrix, transmitting from unknown locations, another pirate radio station. Please patronize our parent portal at mantalasha.net, the Plurin Media Group.
Hello. Paris. Oh. Yes.
You have entered a forbidden internet browsing area. Log off immediately. Encrypted area. Log off immediately. This zone is classified. We are going to force you to log off. Disconnect in progress. Disconnect in progress. Disconnect successful.
Merde.
Isabel, sit down. What were you doing in this restricted area?
I was trained to be noticed.
Say, you get a kick out of that?
I like people to be interested in me. Don't you?
Stop playing games, miss. I want your first name, last name, age, and occupation.
Okay. My name is F. Solal. I'm 23 years old, and I work specialist in virtual characters for the movies, the web, video games, and
so what? You think that gives you the right to do anything you want?
Just the right to a great amount of freedom, Inspector. More than you could ever imagine.